Once again, good morning to everybody, and it's a great honor for me to be here, standing behind this pulpit where a great man of God, your pastor, been used for many, many years here. And sometimes as missionaries, we pray that there will be thousands of pastors like your pastor, Dr. Skyber. You know, as a missionary, we travel and go around places, you will be surprised on some of those pastors. Yeah. And I'm always comforted and encouraged when we are here. And sometimes you'll go to a place, they will not even give you a place to stay. And they would have you shower in the gasoline station. But praise the Lord, never come here. There's always a place to stay and a place to stop before go to heaven. Amen. I learned that already. Amen. I will look for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have a great man of God here. You have a great pastor. You wonder why many Filipinos there in the in your missionaries hall. As many of them really love your pastor, and we pray for him, for his family, and we want to see him really come to the Philippines. He's been supporting me for 11 years, and some of the Filipino missionaries have been supported for almost 20 years and never been to the Philippines. So this April there is the 25th year anniversary. And how I wish that 20 men here will give $100 each so you can send Dr. Skyber in the Philippines. Amen. That would pay his round trip ticket. It will be a great joy. When he comes back here, he will give a great report from the mission field in the Philippines. Please do it. Pray. You have 3 more months or 4. It will be a great blessing. Please send him to the Philippines just for 10 days. Maybe a year. No. Well, just 10 days or 2 weeks, well, he would be able to see all those missionaries in the Philippines. And then after a year, he will come to Thailand. Amen. Now, the reason why I'm really doing this to the Philippines because of this is a great revival that will come, that will happen next year in the Philippines. It will be a great joy to see Dr. Skyber there and preach. Amen. So if you can be one of those men, you know, who will be able to sacrifice $100 each, $2,000, that would pay a $1,200 a ticket for him round trip. Amen. And something to buy for water. Amen. Praise the Lord. We really love him to be there. It's already cracked. The barrel is cracking. All right. I would like to give a report before I'm going to challenge you with God's word. My, you know, many times you have what they call this New Year resolution. I would want to be decent. My New Year resolution is to preach short in 2009. because I used to preach 2 hours in Thailand. If you preach 30 minutes, people will hate you. They will not come to church. Yeah. In the States, you preach long, the pulpit will... you know, it's different. It varies everywhere, but it'd be a great joy. I just would like to give a report. We've been your missionaries for 11 years, from the Philippines to Thailand. But in my mission work in the Philippines, of course, this church have supported me. We started 3 churches in the Philippines before the Lord moved me to Thailand. And in Thailand, we have started 5 churches in 8.5 years. Of our labor there in that country. And so that is a great joy. Now, our purpose of coming to the United States the first time, I came here last July. We presented the need of building a church building in Bangkok City. If you see this building that you have here, this is our dream. Supposed to be this morning, I'm going to preach when your dream dies. But since the preacher is going to preach about your dream next Sunday, as I stand stood up right there, waking up here, the Lord changed it. So I will not preach about when your dream dies. When your dream dies, you know, my text will be in 2 Kings chapter 4. It's good when the pastor announces the message, you know. This, the building that you have here, is the building that we dream of. In Bangkok City, we have 12 million population, but probably there are 6 independent Baptist churches in that place. We want to build a monument of faith to tell the people there that our God is alive. Amen. Yes. That we can build a church building also when people would come and worship the Lord. Yes. Our building, our small building, can only accommodate 60 people on Sunday. That's very small, but we have that for about 3 years now. That's the place the Lord blesses us. And we have outgrown that building. We have now about 100 people. But some of them cannot come up because we have no place, nowhere to put them. That's our problem. So when God gives you that problem, that's a great problem. Yeah. That's what you, like what you have here, amen. Yeah. And certainly our people will not be able to provide that much of money, but to our dream to share it to you, and this church will be a blessing. See, you made all these things possible in Bangkok City. You prayed for us, supported us for many years. Our dream, our vision, is to start an independent Baptist church in every province of Thailand. There are 77 provinces. And certainly, churches here will not be able to support those pastors there. But if we can build a church with 400 members in Bangkok City, we can support that ministry. Yeah. The more people you have, the more the church is more able to support the ministry. But we can only have that if we have a bigger space like what you have here. How I wish you have already built your church building on the other side, and that this building, I'll crane, put it back, send it to Thailand. Amen. And sometimes, you know, I have that, sometimes, you know, when you have this daydream, just send it like that, you know, so I can go home. But our goal to reach $150,000 to build a building like this. In our first 3 months or 4 months, so much prayer really, and at times you could be discouraged. You present it to churches, it's like no one would like to respond. We're tired. I think I have already covered 30,000 miles in our travel, and sometimes I went to Mississippi, to Michigan, back to Arkansas and Texas like that, and this and that, and said, with my family, you know, but we prayed, and here's some great blessing that I would like to share. And anyway, you are not yet hungry. In our first month, we preached in a church. They already gave us $10,000 for that building. I said, we are in the right track. But August, September, October, nothing. No one responded. Lord, what are we going to do? But we prayed. Then we were in a church where there are only 4-5 people. They gave us $4,750 for the building. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We were in Florida. My meeting was canceled. I said, you cannot get a meeting when you, about a few days after, or you know, before you're going to get meeting. If that, if the pastor is Dr. Scarborough, yeah, you can. Praise the Lord, amen. But 99.9% of the pastor here in the States, just one day or 2 days prior to the meeting, you cannot get into it, especially Sunday morning. So I talked to the pastor that we need to be for the Sunday evening. Can I attend the morning service? So we attended the morning service. He said, since you're here, you can teach Sunday school. And I preached that night, and that church gave us very small people, oh, a small number of people, 10,927. I said, where's the economic meltdown here? When God people really give to the Lord, there's a great blessing. So I said, praise the Lord. From Florida, we went to Louisiana. Here's a blessing. This church is only 5 years old. They purchased a double-wide trailer house or home. They put it in an empty lot, and there they worship the Lord in that place. 70 members, 241 missionaries. Wow. How did they do it? I don't know. And then that night, I preached with 35 people. 35 people. I shared the need. The pastor called the men. And they talked for 5 minutes. After the meeting in the office, they came out and says, we will give you $40,000. $20,000 from their general fund, $20,000 from their building fund. See, they will want to build a church building too. But they said, since the Lord is not opening an opportunity for us to build a church building, we'll just give this money to build your church building. Amen. That's a blessing. You know why they do it? Because they love the Lord. Yes. Brethren, if we love God, as we say it, you know, we've been here for a few months. This is a very abused word with Christian, with American Christians. We love you, Lord. Whenever you pray, Lord, we love you, but just coming out from the mouth. If you love God, you go out and win soul, amen? Yes, amen. You love God, you can read the word of God. You love God, come and love the Lord, love the man of God, amen? Yes. Many times you say, oh, we love the Lord. But do we show our love to the Lord? Amen? Yep. Amen? And that's all the great blessing. I was so encouraged. And while the pastor is talking to me, my cell phone rang, and another church with 50 members called me and said, the church will give $10,000. So as of the moment, we have $92,000. And when I came first and said, they said that it's a bad time for you to raise amount of money. In God's time, no bad time. Amen. Amen. It's always great time. Amen. And so praise God. And we are supposed to go back home on March 21. But I said, no, we'll just cancel all the meetings. And we'll just go back to, we'll just give our report to our supporting churches. And hopefully we'll be able to go home on February. The reason why is that we have a member that we need to visit. She got the cancer, and she requested that we'll be able to visit her before we'll go back to Bangkok City. So we are only about $58,000 away from that goal. And I believe by God's grace, amen, that Bethel Baptist Church will sign that check today, amen. You see, in the Bible, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, right? And ye shall be my what? Witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, look at the sentence. The Bible did not say, you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, Samaria, then to the uttermost part. No, no, no. The connector used the word in, not then. So it means while we are building it here, we would also build into the uttermost part of the earth. Amen? So whenever you give a report, how many souls got saved in your church this year? Your response should be, I don't know. I haven't talked to our missionaries yet. How many souls got saved? Because every soul who got saved in those mission field, Bethel Baptist Church is part of it.
Amen.
Amen. Those souls that we have in Thailand, Bethel Baptist Church is part of that. Amen.
Amen.
Those souls in the Philippines, in England, in other countries that you have missionaries, all those souls who got saved, friends, all your mission dollars, your investment, it will go all for eternity. If your investment in Wall Street went down, your investment in heaven will never go down. Amen. So now you choose, where are you going to spend or invest? In eternity or in the Wall Street? Right? Now, so that's our report. Thank you very much for your prayer. Now it's time for the message. 5 minutes introduction, 5 minutes for every point. I have 10 points. Yeah. Matthew chapter 2. And I believe last month, December, the pastor preached the series probably in Christmas. I'm not going to preach about Christmas. But anyway, every day is Christmas. Amen?
Yes.
Every day, remember when Jesus came and died for each and every one of us. And now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And look at verse number 2. Saying, where is he? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And are come to worship him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to your throne of praise, as the psalmist pray, search my heart, O God. Know my thoughts today. Try me, O Lord. That should be our prayer, dear God, in this year 2009. Lord, search our heart. Today, Lord, we come to this place with an empty cup, knowing, dear God, that the Holy Spirit will fill it, Lord, with great blessing. Challenge our heart. Visit us this morning, dear Father. The people probably here, we've been discouraged, tired, confused. I pray, Lord, that they'll receive the answer they've been looking for many years. With your great power, Lord God, I pray that you'd anoint thy servant as he preach your word. Your name will be glorified and magnified. That we may be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. These people, these wise men, some people say they are magician. Some people say they are counselor for kings. Many things that they would say about wise men. But if you remember, in the time when Daniel were taken captive in Babylon, those wise men came. Those wise men were taken to that place. And they're all trained. And they know about the prophecy. And so these wise men have spent their life searching and studying about the promise of the Messiah. And as they wait for that, there in the time when they were in Babylon, now here, the star appeared. And the wise men from the east. And I believe they are coming from Babylon. From Babylon, they will be traveling to Jerusalem or to Israel and Jerusalem and to Bethlehem. And that would probably 4,000 miles from that place, from Babylon going to Bethel or Bethlehem. 4,000 miles, and they're riding in the camels, and you know, camels can only travel about 16, 17 miles, and they would rest. It will take them many months from the place where they came from going to the place where Jesus Christ was born. That's why when they came, they are no Mary, Joseph, and Jesus Christ, they are no longer in the stable, but they're already in the house.
Right.
That's why those pictures that you would see that they're still in the stable when the wise men came and visit, that's wrong.
Amen.
See, these are just a Catholic concept of this and that, and many times we Christians compromise.
Yeah.
You know, you have been put Santa Claus right there. You know, that's you know, Christians. Let's face the truth. Don't compromise.
Amen.
Don't teach your children lies about Santa Claus.
Amen.
Don't put socks there where Santa Claus will come and visit, drink milk, and eat cookies. That's wrong. That's sin. Well, it's sin. Amen.
Yeah.
You're taking the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of hallelujah, you put ho, ho, ho there.
Yeah.
Instead of praise the Lord and this and that, jingle, jingle bells. So, I'm just preaching that for the December, amen. All right. But my message here is these wise men, they traveled from afar with one purpose in their heart. To worship the King.
Amen.
Now we've been a Christian for many years. You got saved. You received the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the Lord, the King of Kings. And I would like to ask one big question. Have you worshipped the Lord? Have you truly worshipped God? 2009, I would like to challenge each and every one of us to touch the heart of God. And how can I touch the heart of God? You see, if you're going to be able to touch the heart of God, you can ask whatever you desire.
Yes.
And I believe that. But the question is, have you touched the heart of God already? Yes, we come to church on Sunday, sometimes because we just need to be in the church, because it's Sunday. Right? We even say, oh, wait a minute. I'm still watching this program. I'll catch up. Are you really going to worship the Lord on Sunday?
You see, you watch this number. And then you observe tonight if some of you will come back and worship the Lord. Come on, let's face the truth. Amen. Yes. You have already settled in your heart to be in the church only in the morning, but in the evening, just watch football or whatever in the television or go somewhere else. Let's face that fact. That's the truth.
Yes.
Then you say you love the Lord.
Amen.
That's the reality. But I'm already old. I cannot drive. You ask someone to drive for you.
Amen.
You just have so many excuses.
Yes.
That's why there is no blessing. And you experience that economic meltdown. And then you pray, Lord, I love you. Right? It's true.
Yep.
And then when we hear the truth, we get hurt. I don't want to go back to that church anymore. Right? When the pastor preached, man, I'm going to look for another church. The same problem there. The same problem with another church. And then you'll make a decision. I'm not going back to the church anymore. Then you hurt yourself already. Right? I'm just sharing you the truth. Before we'll go into the message. Amen. That's the reality. Then, here is some problem. We've been in and traveling in the States. Everybody look for the one. It's time for Cracker Bar. Huh? It's time for this. It's time for that. All our mind is already out of here. The time you started coming into the building. Yeah. You watch. If ever I'll be able to come back here this evening, I'd memorize all your faces. And I would know who will not come back this evening. Now, 2009, what is your goal? May I make this one request? That you would touch the heart of God.
Yes.
That's my prayer. Lord, I've been serving you there in Thailand for 9 years. Lord, I prayed in one desire of my heart that in those years I was able to touch your heart. That if you will go into the Old Testament, Abram touched the heart of God. When God blessed Abraham and said, Abraham, why don't you sacrifice your son? And as Abraham followed the voice of God and went to that mountain, and as Abraham pulled up that knife, and then he heard the voice of God. He touched the heart of God. And God bless him. Amen. But you know, before he experienced that, he was in his garden one day, and then he talked to the Lord. He went home, and he asked his wife, Sarah, pack our things and let's go. Probably Sarah says, where are we going? Are you out of your mind? We're enjoying this place. Where are we going? We're going to a place where we don't know.
Right.
Where?
Yeah.
I meet the Lord.
Yes.
So let's go.
Amen.
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 Have you met God? Yes. Now when God called him for only one purpose, you read the story of Abraham. Only one purpose. To worship God.
Yes.
You know why mission exists? You know why mission exists? Mission exists because of the absence of true worshipers. We went to Thailand to tell those people to worship the true and living God. You got saved and now you're worshiping the true and living God. Amen.
Amen.
Abraham was called by God go to these places, to these cities, to these countries, and build an altar and worship the living God. That's one purpose right there. And friends and brethren, you are here this time, you are here in this place with one purpose: to worship the Lord. At 2009, I would truly worship the living God.
Yes.
Let's meet the Lord. Now, not only Abraham. You see Malak characters in the Bible. I remember Joseph. Joseph touched the heart of God. He never did something wrong to his brother, but they sold him. But he never questioned God. And as he was in that place, serving as a servant in the Potiphar's house, maybe he's a good looking like me. So Mrs. Potiphar said, "Joseph, come to my room." "Oh, no, 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 no." But as he ran, Mrs. Potiphar was able to. And then when the captain came, when the husband came, look at what this man did. He was accused. Never did anything wrong. He was put to a place where no one knows, in the dungeon. But God remembers him. Amen. Even he is in that lonely place, a very dark place. He's far away from his loved one. Was accused of something he never did. Yet, he worshiped the Lord. And God remembered him. Amen?
Yes.
And God blessed him. Amen?
Amen?
He became one of the leaders there. Became president. Amen? Why? Because there is a man that even though he was accused of many things, he never forget to worship the Lord.
Yeah.
And God bless him. Amen. Daniel. People so envious that they want to destroy his character. But nothing they can find. Until finally they said, "Let's make a decree. Worship only the king. And if they pray to the other gods or to their god, they will die." I wonder what Daniel will say nowadays in the school in America when they remove those prayers. Right? That's why this country is hurting, because of those things. Now, did Daniel be quiet? No. He opened the windows.
Yes.
And worshiped the Lord.
Amen.
Woo. Did God punish him? Oh, the King Darius said, "You will go to that place, to the lion's den." And God shut the mouth of that lion.
Amen.
Maybe when Daniel entered, "Peace, Mr. Lion, peace." Or maybe, you know, all night long they were just in good fellowship, you know. That lion can never devour Daniel because he worshiped God. Amen. This economic meltdown, friends, can never devour you. If you truly worship the Lord, if you truly worship God, if you truly put God first in your life, in everything you do, you put God first, this meltdown in the United States will never affect you.
Amen.
We have seen it in the past, in the Word of God, in the Old Testament, where there are so many people have worshipped the Lord.
Amen.
Remember that widow? Elijah visited her. "If I'll give you this bread, this water, me and my son will die. They've been in famine for many years." Yet, as I mentioned, Elijah, the prophet of God, representative of the Lord, this widow woman gave everything. Amen? 7 years. 7 years. They never run out.
whenever there's famine, a time of famine, they never experience it. Why? They worship the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. They worship the Lord. They worship the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, you see people, prophets of God, kings, and many people have worshiped the Lord. And they've been blessed. Now, these wise men, are they expecting anything from the Lord? No, ma'am, no, sir. They just want to worship the Lord.
Amen.
We are seeking, we are looking for the Jew, for the King of the Jews. We are looking for Jesus Christ, and we have come to worship Him. Christians, in our Christian life, daily walk with God, do we worship God every day? We don't worship God every day. It is only when it's convenient time for us.
Yeah.
2009, gas is going up. I don't care. I'm going to worship God. Amen. I'm going to worship God. I'll put God first. I see many times you put Matthew 6:33 in the wrong context. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Does that mean I'm being the church? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? See, there's kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. You remember in John chapter 3, John said, if you will not be born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. The word see, S-E-E, means experience. That's the meaning of it, experience. If you will not experience to be born again, God will not rule your heart. God will never be in your heart. God will never be there. So, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. It means if you will let God be the king of your life, if you let God be the ruler of your life, righteousness will be there upon you. And then, all these things, hallelujah, all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Worship the Lord. Make Him the ruler of your life. Worship the Lord. Well, come now. When they came, as they traveled from the east to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, they experienced pain, heat of the sun, sandstorm, typhoon, the peril of weather and the pain and many things they have encountered along the way, but nothing can hinder them, nothing can stop them. They just went away and look and search for the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, the King of Kings, so that they would be able to worship Him. See, that's what we need to have. Nothing can hinder us. Nothing can stop us. I will come and worship the Lord.
Amen.
No baseball game, Super Bowl game, or whatever game that will be in my worshiping God.
Yeah.
Sorry, Pastor. I cannot come tonight. I have a toothache. Sorry, Pastor, I can't come tonight. I have a headache. You're not dying. Yeah? Here's sad to say, most of your prayers, prayer requests, sick people. See, I'm not against praying for the sick. That's in the Bible. Amen. When someone is sick, you ask the pastor, the men in the church, and pray. Amen.
Yes.
when no one will pray for salvation of one soul. Worship the Lord. 2009. And here, he said, how are you going to touch the heart of God? Here. When the wise men found Jesus Christ, they enter into the house. They what? Kneel down. They kneel down. See, him, right?
Yes.
Not them.
Right.
Not Mary. Not Joseph.
Yep.
Not them. He only used the singular word, him.
Yes.
Not them. Amen.
Right.
They never worshiped Mary.
Amen.
They worship him.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ. But here, we'll not get into that thing. When they worship, they open their gifts. Here is how you can touch the heart of God. You can never worship God without giving.
I believe that.
Yeah.
When they came prepared, carrying that gold, myrrh, and frankincense.
Yep.
I don't care what they say about typology, that the gold is because Jesus is king, and frankincense because of this and that, and myrrh because this and that. What I'm concerned is, they came prepared in their worship to the Lord. They brought gifts. Amen?
Amen.
And they gave it to the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, I don't have cash. I cannot give. You put that offer, credit machine there. Every time you comes in, psst, right? There's a credit machine, right? You must put that machine right here.
Amen.
Every time the offering plate passes,
Amen.
They don't have it everywhere. It will work here.
Here.
Yeah. No, I will charge 7%. Friends, these wise men, when they worship, they give. Many times we concentrate in tithings, but tithes is not giving.
Right. Right.
Tithes is just returning.
Correct.
What God owns.
Yes.
Above that is when you truly worship God.
Right.
Now you say you love the Lord.
Right.
You know why there's curse? Yeah. What is the last word in the Old Testament? Curse.
Curse,
because those people rob God.
Yeah.
They don't give their tithes and their offering. You think when you give your tithes only, you don't rob God? You rob the Lord. You have to give complete. You have to return the 10% and give an offering. And then God will say, I will open the windows of heaven. Now look at that word. Windows, not window. Now, you're all an English American people. That windows means plural, right?
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
Windows is plural.
Yes.
I don't know how many windows in heaven. But God said He will open the windows of heaven and shower you His blessing. Amen?
Yeah.
That there will be no enough room for you to put the blessing of God. Is that great and wonderful? Do you believe that? That's the problem. We don't believe it.
Right.
Yeah. That's why when the opening plate passed by, our hand have epilepsy. And then you're looking for God's blessing when we don't obey the Lord. Oh, with that, another person in the Bible. If you look in Luke chapter 21, there is a widow woman right there.
Yeah.
She got two mites. Nowadays,
If you have a nickel, is it the nickel, the bronze thing?
The pen is the copper.
And piff of that, piff part, that's 1 mite. She got 2 mites. If you look at Luke 21, and Luke 21, when that widow woman came to the temple and worshiped God, if you enter that synagogue or the temple, you would see those offering boxes. About 13 of them. How many you have here? See, only 4. In that temple, they have 13. 13 boxes. And you cast in the offering. Jesus Christ is standing here. And as that widow woman passed by and gave the offering, Jesus noticed her. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, have noticed this widow woman. 2,000 years later, here we see her testimony, because she's remembered when she gave everything. But there's only 2 mites. Yeah, but Jesus said she gave everything she got. It's not how much, it's how much you really love the Lord. That widow woman touched the heart of Jesus Christ. She looked at her, and Jesus called her, his disciple, "Come, you see that woman?" See, friends, Jesus is looking. Amen. Jesus is observing. He's looking at you. 2009. How much do you really worship the Lord? Are you willing to give for the glory of God? And then last, in John chapter 6, if you will read the story right there. We're not really going to read just for the sake of time, because it's short. If you look in John chapter 6, a story of a young boy that God used. There are 5,000 men right there, and they have a need. They don't have food, enough food. They only have 200 penny worth of bread. And Philip said, "Lord, it's not enough." And Jesus said, "No, just make them sit down and go and see and look for food." So the disciple went around and shouting, "Is there anyone bringing bread? Is there anyone bringing something right here?" No one had raised their hand except for that young boy. "Mr. Andrew, I am here. I have 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. And Andrew said, "Okay, come here." Andrew said, "Master, this young lad here have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And the young boy gave it all. Amen. As he gave it all, Jesus blessed the food. 5,000 men fed that day, because there's one young boy who's willing to give everything. But he's just a young boy. Well, that's the Bible says, if you have faith like these little children, amen. His young boy have touched the heart of Jesus Christ. You think when that young boy went home, he went home empty-handed? Oh, no, 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 no. There's 12 baskets left over. Jesus would say to his disciples, "Carry those baskets, men, and follow that young boy. Bring the baskets of bread to him." Amen. And as the young boy went home, he would tell to his mother, "Mama, look what Jesus did. I have seen Jesus perform miracles with my 5 barley loaves. And 2 small pieces. 2009, you will see the miracle of God. Amen. You will see the miracle of God. If you're going to worship the Lord 2009, you can build a church right there. If you're truly going to worship the Lord, here God will bless Bethel Baptist Church. 2009, when you're going to break the wall or maybe build a bigger building that can sit 2,000 people, if we truly are willing to give sacrificially in our worship to the Lord. 2009, more for Jesus. You can touch the heart of God.
in your worship by sacrificial giving. God will supply. And we are going to appeal to you also this morning. As I conclude, help us build our dream in Bangkok, Thailand. See, maybe right now, be able to give and build a building there in Thailand. All the same time, God will pour His blessing here and you can build your church building. 2009, I'm going to worship God. 2009. Thank you and God bless, Pastor.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. I love Brother Gutley. He's a great preacher. He's what you call a porcupine preacher. He preaches so you get the point. A lot of people don't like to hear straight truth. That's why they go to liberal churches. We need more fundamental churches preaching it straight out. That's my kind of preaching. Wonder with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Number one, if you're here today and you're not saved, you're on your way to hell. There is a heaven, there is a hell. Hell is real. That's why Jesus came and died and suffered and agonized on the cross of Calvary. But he didn't stay there. They put him in a grave. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He's risen. He's reigning. He's at the right hand of the Father. And one day soon, he's going to be returning. And only for those that have faith in him. How many could say, preacher, I know for sure if I died, I've put my faith in Jesus Christ, I know I'm saved. Say, preacher, I'm sure I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I'm positive I'm saved. Thank you, may put him down. Is there any today that say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Just raise that hand. Let me see it. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for anyone. Yes, ma'am. I see that. God bless you. That took courage. Who else? Yes. I see a hand. God bless you, sir. I see that. That took courage. Who else? Pray for me, Pastor. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. It's not God's will that anybody perish, but all come to repentance. Jesus loves you so much that he came and died just for you. And all you got to do is receive him into your heart. How do you do that, preacher? You realize you're a lost sinner on your way to hell, that you can't get to heaven by yourself, and that the only way you can get to heaven and the only way you can have all your sins forgiven is to trust Christ as your personal Savior. Believe on what he did for you. The gospel, that he died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again a third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. And that's what you believe on. Years ago, when I was 20 years old, I was already a member of a Baptist church. I had already been baptized. One night I was reading my Bible, and for the first time in my life, I realized I was a lost sinner going to go to hell. I started to cry. I didn't want to die and go to hell. I got down on my knees that night over 1034 and a half Sherman Street from an old green couch, that we bought when we first got married. And I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sin and come into my heart and be my Savior. Save my soul from hell and take me to heaven. That night I asked Christ to be my Savior, and he came into my heart and he saved me. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll call on him and mean it from your heart, he'll save you. And you could lay your head in a pillow tonight knowing you're going to heaven if you die. It's not religion. It's not church membership. It's not baptism. It's not taking the Lord's Supper. It's not some religious rite that people do. It's not wearing beads. It's not taking a wafer. It's nothing that, it's you standing face to face before God saying, I need Jesus to get me to heaven. And you do. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You want to go to heaven, you got to come God's way. And God's way is Jesus. And he's standing at the door waiting. He's knocking. All you got to do is open up your heart. Come in, Jesus. If you open up the door of your heart, he'll come right in. He's just waiting for you to invite him in. How many Christians are going to say, preacher, God spoke to me why that missionary preached, and I haven't been faithful like I should be. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 yes. We need to get 2009 right in line right now. I'm telling you right now. I'm 2009. I'm hitting and running with 2009. I'm telling you right now. I'm going to be preaching fire every message. And I think Jesus is coming back. We haven't got no time to lose, Brother Tommy. We've got to take every opportunity, use every opportunity. We haven't got no time to waste. Jesus is coming back. We're going to get people saved. We better get them saved now. I'm going to pray. You'd like to come and be saved? You come. There's people to show you how to be saved. Just come forward. Want to just talk to God? You come forward. Whatever's in your heart, you come. Heavenly Father, I saw at least two people, maybe more, but I know I saw a man and a lady, Lord, that said they need to be saved. And oh God, the reason they raised their hand because the Holy Spirit spoke to their heart. Help them, Lord, to respond now. Lord, help them just go all the way and say, yes, I'm going to have Christ. I'm not going to let nothing stop me. I'm going to have Jesus today. Lord, I pray for Christians. They're all with the hands on both sides of the building. Help us to be sold out like those wise men. Help us to love you and to sacrifice and to give and to serve. And Lord, to just have the heart of God. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page are you on? 394. If you'd like to come for any reason, you come right now. Oh.